Well, today we're going to be talking about marriage and divorce, but we'll get to this message here in just a minute. First, I want to give you a brief update on what's going on over in Africa. There's a lot of chaos and turmoil in Kenya right now. The opposition party is taking to the streets and demonstrating, which means in Kenya lots of looting, lots of rioting, lots of burning and all of that kind of stuff. We've seen it here in the U.S. also, but this is now a weekly occurrence in Kenya, in Nairobi primarily. And so we need to pray for the peace of Kenya, and we need to pray for the peace of the electoral process and all of the people in Kenya that are suffering from high inflation. The cost of basic food commodities and other things that people need is very expensive for them. And so it's a worldwide issue, not just here in America, but it's a worldwide issue, the issue of basic commodities being unaffordable for many of the average people there in Kenya. So keep them in your prayers. As far as the children at the children's home, they are doing well. They're going back to school on Monday. They've had a three-week break from the first term and now going into the second term. And so this will be a opportunity for them then to continue their education. So we need to pray for them. Also, we pray for the church, and things are going well in the church. We pray for the pastor. We pray for the village of Makunda Village. Many people there are unreached and don't know about Jesus Christ as their Lord, and so we have an outreach there. We have an evangelism program to reach out to them on Wednesdays, and also on Saturdays we do walk-arounds in the village and preach to them, talk to them, pray with them. And so you can keep all of that in your prayers as we go forward here in 2023. Well, today we're going to be talking about marriage and divorce, and this is a big subject. And I want to say before I start that I know many, many people listening are divorced, and so that is a issue in the body of Christ. It's an issue of people outside the body of Christ, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so what I speak to you today is out of love. It's out of concern and compassion. I've been down this road myself, and so I know that there's a lot of pain involved. There's a lot of issues involved that have to do with children, stepchildren, and blended families, all this kind of thing, and a lot of confusion about the teaching in God's Word regarding marriage and divorce. And so just understand this, that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If you've been down this road or if you're going through it right now, Jesus has a plan for you. He has a love for you. God loves you very much, and God's love transcends divorce. God's love transcends separation and all kinds of trauma in marriage. God's love has a healing for you. God's love has a healing for your family, for your children, for your stepchildren. And so if you submit to God's plan for your life, even though divorce may be a part of your life, or you may be even going through it right now, God can restore you, He can redeem you, and He can bring you up and take you higher through His love and through the plan that He has in His holy word. So if you've been with us the last 3 weeks, you know that we have talked about the foundation for marriage, and you go back to the beginning, back to the book of Genesis, and God laid out the plan for marriage, and of course He gave us the example of Adam and Eve. The first couple, you might say, were in the garden, and God had created Adam, and He'd given him his work to do. Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 15, He had already given Adam his work to do. He said to Adam, cultivate the garden. And He put him in there. Everything was bliss. Everything was perfect. Everything was fine. And then God said that you need a helper. Adam, that it is not good for man to be alone. And so if you're single today and you're looking for a wife, understand this. God knows that you are single. He knows that you're needing a helper. And so stay faithful in your call. Stay faithful to where God has placed you. Stay faithful in cultivating the garden, and God will bring a helpmate to you. And those of you women who are single, if you're praying for a man, just stay faithful in your call, stay faithful in the work that God has you to do, and also in that regard, God will bring you to the side of a man that you can be a helpmate for him. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, God lays out then his plan for marriage, and he takes the rib out of Adam, creates Eve, and so Eve was taken from Adam, taken from his side. Adam is the protector of Eve. He is the covering for Eve. And if you didn't follow us in the last couple of weeks, go to Ephesians chapter 5, and you'll read about all of this, how God has made man the head of his wife. The wife is to submit to the husband, and also at the same time, the wife is the mother of the children, and through her comes the man, and the children then are subject to the mother and father, as also the father is subject to Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the head of the family. He's the head of the father, he's the head of the mother, and Jesus is also the head of the church. The church is the body of Christ. And so marriage is a picture of Jesus Christ and the body, because the husband is head of the wife. And so marriage is the earthly picture of Jesus Christ and the church, the body of Christ. It's a very beautiful picture. It's a sacred picture. And so God himself created marriage. God himself created Adam and Eve. And so everything that follows in marriage, everything that follows in creating children, creating the next generation of godly people, comes through that pattern, comes through that institution of marriage, which is a creation of God Almighty. And so in Genesis 2:24, God says, "For this cause," that is the cause of marriage, "for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cling to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And so the two are no longer individuals. The two are no longer single. The two are no longer operating by themselves in their own sphere, but the two have become one flesh. And so that is a beautiful picture of marriage. Well, Jesus goes on in Matthew 19 then to speak about divorce, and this is the only time I believe that Jesus speaks about divorce in the New Testament. So if you have your Bible there today, open it up to Matthew 19, and we'll take a look then at what Jesus has to say about divorce. And so the Pharisees had come to Jesus and testing him. This is in verse 3. The Pharisees came to him testing him and saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause at all?" And he answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" Well, let me stop right there and just say, when the Pharisees brought up the subject of divorce, Jesus took them back to the very beginning. He started his teaching by taking them back to the beginning, and he said God created them male and female. And by the way, I want to insert here also that there are only two sexes. God created male and he created female, and he created them for each other. And so that is God's plan for the sexes. That is God's plan for multiplying and replenishing the earth, is that male and female join together and they create children. And it's obvious to anyone with any common sense that is the blessing from God to create children. The Bible says that children are a blessing from the Lord. They are a gift from God. the fruit of the womb is a gift from God. And so for those who in the U.S. are confused about that, know that the confusion doesn't come from God, it comes from the devil. And so God created them in the beginning, male and female. And God said in verse 5, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cling to his wife," or cleave to his wife, "and the two shall become one flesh." So Jesus repeats the very same scripture that we just read in Genesis 2:24. Jesus takes them back to that scripture, says God created them male and female in the beginning, and for this cause, for this reason, marriage, a man shall leave his father and mother, and according to God's word, the same for the woman, she shall leave her father and mother. She's given away by her father or some male figure in her life. And so they cleave to each other. They cling to each other. They're no longer single now. They're no longer operating on their own, but the two shall become one flesh. And so Jesus then goes on to say, consequently, they are no longer two, but one flesh. And what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. And so this is the perfect plan. This is plan A. What God has created, when God put them together, when he brought them together, and I'm sure many of you that are married today and have good marriages, you have marriages where you enjoy each other and love each other, you understand the beauty of marriage, you understand the sacredness of marriage, I'm sure you have a testimony of how God brought you in a miraculous way, in a divine way, how God brought you to your mate, and you could give a good story. Maybe there would be something you could write in a book about a good story about how God brought your mate to you, how God brought your wife or your husband to you. And so God has brought two people together out of all the people in the universe, out of all the 8 billion people on the face of the earth. God has brought two people together to enjoy each other, to help each other, to love each other, to create children, if that is appropriate in their life, to create children. And so this is God's plan. This is plan A. And he says, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. And so this is God's plan. This is the plan of Jesus Christ, that man not separate what God has joined together. And so, again, there's no condemnation if you have been divorced. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. God has a plan for you. He even has a plan for you to bring another mate to you. And there are reasons then given in the Bible that justify divorce. There are reasons given in the Bible where you can actually feel justified in divorce. But understand this, it is not God's plan for people to divorce. That is not God's first plan. His first plan is that because he brought them together, because he joined them in one flesh, because he brought them together to create children, that is the perfect plan, the plan A, the plan that God has when he brings two people together, and that his plan also says that whatever he brings together, let no man separate. And then in verse 7, Jesus, the Pharisees ask him the question, well then, why did Moses give a certificate of divorce and send her away? Well, if you look back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 24, he said to them, Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wife, but from the beginning, it has not been this way. And so from the beginning, it was God's plan. There be no divorce. There was a situation in the Old Testament regarding Moses. You can read about it, where there was an allowance for divorce. And so in civil law today, we have divorce that is legal, and it is approved by government. And in some situations, it is approved by God, but it is not God's perfect plan. It is not God's plan A, as I spoke before. It is God's plan B. And so when God brings two people together, and if you're in a situation today where you're struggling in your marriage, keep fighting for it, keep contending, get some help, contend for it, get some counseling, go to the pastors, go to the elders of the church, go to the deacons of the church, go to a godly person in your life, go to a couple that has been married for a long time, has a good, godly, solid marriage. Go to them and receive counseling from them, receive prayer for them, and as you do that, then you're contending for your marriage, and many people have fought for their marriage, they've contended for their marriage, and they look back a few years later, and they say, wow, we went through that difficult situation, we went through that time of turmoil, that time of stress, that time of look like shipwreck, and God brought us through it, and many people have testimonies that they have been brought through that place of shipwreck. They've been brought through that place of the storm, and they now even have a good marriage that they can rejoice in, and they can love each other, and they can give a testimony about how God brought them through that difficult place. And so then Jesus says in verse 9, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality or sexual immorality, fornication, and marries another woman commits adultery. And so that is the defining. Jesus said if someone in the marriage has committed adultery and there is fornication outside of the marriage covenant, that the marriage covenant then is broken, and divorce then is a justified reason because of adultery, then divorce is justified in the light of the fact that the covenant of marriage is no longer valid, the covenant is no longer intact, the covenant has been broken, and so Jesus allows divorce in that situation. Well, many people bring up the issue of, well, then if you marry somebody, if you're divorced and you marry somebody else, are you committing a sin? Well, there is a teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and Paul goes into this as a teaching for other reasons that you may divorce, other reasons that are justified to allow divorce. And so Paul goes on to say here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, now concerning things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of immoralities, that is sexual immoralities, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband fulfill his duty, that is his sexual duty, to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this by way of concession, not of command, yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. Well, Paul apparently, and by all records, was a single man. He had no wife, he had no children, and so he tells about that later in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In this very chapter, he talks about how he's single and he is devoted to his work for the Lord. He is single in his marriage, or is single in his relationship with women, and he's also single in his devotion. That is to say, his devotion to the Lord was a passionate devotion. He didn't have to divide his attention between serving his wife or taking care of his wife and serving Jesus Christ. And for those of you who are single out there today listening, I would encourage you, stay passionate about your devotion to Christ, stay in your walk with the Lord, stay in your devotion to the church and whatever God has called you to do in the kingdom. And as you do that, the time will pass, and as you do that, then God will bring you to a mate. If you desire a mate, God will show you a mate, and that's the best place. If you're single, that's the best place to find a mate. Get in the church. Get in the church. Get busy doing what God has called you to do. Get busy working in the garden, and God then will bring a mate to you at the appropriate time. But until then, single people, stay busy in the garden that Jesus has put you in. So Paul says in verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, "Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that." And so singleness can be considered a gift. It's not easy for a person to eat alone all the time. It's not easy for a person to go places alone all the time. But God can give you the strength to do it. Be patient. Stay in the garden. Stay working for the Lord. And stay focused on your job in the kingdom, or your job, your secular job, and do it as unto the Lord. And God will bring you a mate at the right time. And if you don't have the gift of being single, don't commit to fornication. Don't start playing around. Don't start jumping in with the world. If you do that, you're going to face a big penalty. You're going to face a discipline against yourself, or a punishment against yourself. So stay focused on your walk with the Lord and your desire to serve Him. And so in Paul's teaching here in verse 8, he says, "But I say to the unmarried and to widows that is good for them to remain even as I, but if they do not have self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn." Well, this brings up the issue, have you been divorced before? Is it okay to marry? And I believe if you repent of the divorce, repent of your part in the divorce, and some people had no part in the divorce, although generally each party, there's something that they can take ownership of in a divorce. But if you repent of that, ask the Lord to forgive you. It is not the unforgivable sin. There's only one unforgivable sin. As I read God's word, there's only one unforgivable sin, and that is the sin of blasphemy, where you're speaking against God, where you're openly condemning God, where you're not convicted by the Holy Spirit, you're not convicted of sin. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You attribute to God the works of the devil. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And so if you have been divorced and you had any part in it at all, which I'm sure you did have some part, even if small, you repent of that, ask God to forgive you, wipe the slate clean, accept the forgiveness of God. If you repent, the Lord says, "I forgive you, and not only do I forgive you, but I forget about your sin as far as the east is from the west." Now, this isn't a justification for playing the field, multiple marriages, but you can go forward with a clean slate. And Paul says, "For it is better to marry than to burn. But to the married I give instructions, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband." And so if you are married, it is good for you to stay married. If you're unmarried, it is good to stay unmarried. And I'm going to finish here with just two or three scriptures from this 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and Paul finishes his teaching at the end of this chapter. It's a long teaching. I urge you to read it, encourage you to read it. Paul says in verse 11, "If she does leave, let her remain unmarried." That is, if she's in a marriage and she does leave, let her remain unmarried, "or else be reconciled to her husband, and that the husband should not send his wife away. And to the rest I say, not the Lord, that if a brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, let him not send her away." And so if he has a wife that is an unbeliever, he should keep that wife. He should strive to have a good marriage with her, and that is God's plan then for marriage. Well, I'm running out of time today. We may take this up next week in further detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And so this is God's plan. If you have a wife, keep her. If you're single, stay single. But if you can't stay single, if you're burning with passion for a wife, it is okay to marry. It is God's plan for you to marry. And that is God's will then, that you be satisfied, you be complete, that you be joined to a woman. If you have a desire to be married, that you be joined to a woman, and that you then are one flesh, and you are then representing Jesus Christ and the church. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for all the many years, and we invite you to join this ministry. We invite you to support the radio broadcast and the projects we have going in Africa, the children's home and the church, and we're going to build a school over there this year. We've got many things going on, and so we praise the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for all the good plans that He has for this ministry. We invite you to join us. Sit down today. Write us out a check. Let us know you're listening, and we praise the Lord that you are listening today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.